Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Magnolia Beef and Seminary has top quality beef products that are raised right here in Mississippi. They also have fantastic gifts for every age. For the best beef in Mississippi and so much more, visit Magnolia Beef and Seminary or find us on Facebook.
This is Rebecca Turner, and thank you for listening to the Good Things Podcast here on Super Talk Mississippi.
It's Mississippi's Radio Happy Hour.
Well, I'm going to Mississippi. Mississippi, here I come.
You're listening to Good Things with Rebecca Turner.
Well, I'm going to Mississippi. Mississippi, here I come.
Bringing you the good stories of Mississippi's people, places, and things to do. Now, here's Rebecca.
Good afternoon, Super Talk Mississippi. You're tuned into your Radio Happy Hour. That's the Good Things. I'm your host, Rebecca Turner. Now, don't forget, you can listen to Good Things. We are streaming live over at supertalk.fm. We're also streaming from that Super Talk Mississippi app. You can always find us, too, on your local Super Talk Mississippi radio station. And don't forget, you can watch us. We are on your computer, your mobile device. Just head on over to Super Talk TV. You'll see I'm not alone in the studio today. That always makes me happy. I have joining me Dennis Adams. He is the dad to Riley Adams and probably coach, too, but we'll dive into that. And they are here to talk about one of the fastest growing sports in Mississippi, which is archery. And we've got some archers in Mississippi, including Miss Riley, who are starting to show out on a national and even an international stage. So welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Congratulations, Miss Riley.
Thank you.
So what did you just win? If folks are watching over at Super Talk TV, you've got this big medal around your neck. So hold that up for us. So you just got back from this past weekend. What is that? Where'd you come from?
I just shot at Arizona Cup, and I just took the gold.
Whoop, whoop. That's really cool. That's really cool. And you also, okay, so you and another athlete or archer there at Mississippi Archery Academy is headed to El Salvador to represent USA national team. Dennis, how did these opportunities come about for archers here in Mississippi?
So we have kids that participate in USA Archery national events, and as you go through the season from last year, you finish first, second, and third. So at the end of the season, they get rankings, and then they get invitations the next year to go to different events. And this year happens to be the Youth Pan Am Championships year, and so we have three boys and then Riley going, and they ranked high enough where they got invitations, and they accepted the invitations, and because some people will turn them down for funding and stuff, but Elijah Hillensbeck, he's one of the top-ranked archers in the nation. Anthony Malik, and then also Ethan Mitchell, and they're all top three in their categories, and then Riley, and so they got invitations and they accepted them, and so the USA archery coaches are putting a team together for the different bow types and different age categories, and we'll be off to El Salvador on May 4th.
That's really cool. How excited are you, Riley?
I'm very excited because last year I switched what bow I was doing, and I was like, I don't have enough events to get ranking. Please get down to me. Please get down to me.
So, and it finally made that way. And I think, like, so in terms of ranking, is that very similar to what other sports do, like when you're thinking about, like, Olympic rankings in terms of, like, number of ports you've collected over,
yes,
like, a season?
Yes. And so there are seven opportunities throughout the year at different events, indoor nationals, outdoor nationals. What we just came from this past weekend, the Arizona Cup that's held in Phoenix every year, that's called a USA trial event. They just had the Olympic eliminations at that event. So the Olympic hopefuls, the kids that shoot their, the adults that shoot the Olympic recurve bow, because it's an Olympic year, they also go through the different trials, and they cut down from 16 to 8 at this event. In May, they'll go to Florida, to Newberry, Florida, for the Gator Cup, and they'll cut down to the team. And so, but these events are for kids any age up through the adults, and then in their different correct age categories. And so if you rank first in that at that event, you get 1 point. And so at the end of the year, depending on what category you shoot, they'll take the top three or the top five kids at the end of the year. So it's kind of like golf. Lowest score is best.
I was and just then gonna the say, second. Oh, yeah. You want a low score, so
yes.
You don't want a top,
yeah,
score.
Yeah, you want to come in first, second, third, and then the best three or four events, depending on the scale they're using, will determine first, second, third, fourth, and then when events, international events come up, they'll go down the list for invitations.
For invitations. So, Riley, what division / bow / where's your groove? What you shooting? What you doing?
Now I'm shooting bare bow, which is like what they shoot at the Olympics, except mm-hmm. minus all the cool stuff.
Yeah, all of the balancing things and all the little things.
Yeah.
So bare means no equipment other than just you and your eyesight, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, obviously the arrow and the bow, and the but there's nothing on there to sort of enhance.
There's no sight. There's no balance. There's no, you see the big stabilizers, so and then there's no sight. So like you said, it's just the eyesight and the bow.
So what drew you to that?
I shot Olympic for a while, and I was having fun with it. But I saw all the other kids shooting barebow, and I was like, I want to try this. And I went to my first barebow event, and I ended up coming third out of people who had been doing this for years. And I was like, oh, yeah, this
maybe
is what I want to
do. Maybe I have a knack at that. That was probably what Dad was thinking.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay, so when did, as a family, you guys get into the sport of archery? Because, Riley, how old are you?
I'm 15 now.
15, and just to be able to have the opportunity to go international and compete is pretty impressive. So when did you introduce archery to Riley, or how did Riley get into archery?
So I was teaching at Floyd Elementary School, and they have an archery team, elementary archery team, and Riley was in the third grade, and she kind of saw it and wanted to try it. She had done several other sports before and just liked them, but they weren't her thing. And so we got her a bow, and she tried it. She liked it. And in Mississippi, there was nowhere else to do archery outside of the schools. Like basketball has AAU, football has, you know, you go to the high school, baseball has a ton of stuff, but even volleyball. But there was no one doing archery outside of the school's program.
4-H.
Except, yes, 4-H, but as we discussed, sometimes 4-H doesn't put out the reminders
agreed.
As often as they should.
But, and it's very volunteer-based. It's very, it's not as, like, an organized league. It's an opportunity this season.
And then 4-H only does it for a few months during their archery season. And so there's nothing really year-round coaching or anything like that around central Mississippi or even the whole state. And so I looked into it. I got in touch with USA Archery, got my certification through there, and we were blessed to find a facility that fit our needs, that was in our budget. And so we opened it with the hopes that people would come out and talk to some of the kids and parents at my school and some other coaches. They're like, yeah. And so that was 6 years ago, and we went from just shooting the Genesis bow for a year. Then we started buying equipment for kids that they could try with recurve bows, and we did that. And now we have, there are four bow types. There's a open compound, fixed pins compound, Olympic recurve, bare bow recurve. Now we have all the equipment. We have kids that shoot every category, and we have kids that have been with us 3, 4, 5 years that are now on the international stage, going overseas, going to represent the United States. And so it's just been a process of getting the word out. And there's still people that are in the archery community that still don't know we exist because we don't advertise a whole lot.
And that's the Mississippi Archery Academy.
Yes, Mississippi Archery Academy. And we don't advertise a whole lot. And it's allowed us to just grow and really develop these kids that found us. And the parents that are like, ooh, I want something for my kid. And usually once kids find archery, that's usually it. They usually fall in love with archery. And it's
a frustrating sport, though, Riley. So why do you love it so much?
Well, I love the shooting part. I feel like once you get on the line, you get like a calm feeling that rushes over you, and it's just you and the target. But I also love like the community. I know that without archery, I have friends that from all over the nation that I've met at different archery events. And I know that I never would have even met any of them without archery.
Which I think that's something neat too. And this is a good reminder that, you know, kids don't always have to do the football, the baseball, the volleyball, the cheerleading, the whatever. There are other sports within the school systems or outside of it that where people can still find the community, still be competitive, still, you know, embrace something. And the cool part with archery, which we've appreciated in our family, it is a sport that you can carry through life, right?
Yes.
Like, I mean, it's something you can do well, and maybe not at the highest competition level as you are if you chose not to, but you could keep it as a fun sport as an adult or, you know, and beyond.
Yes, we have some parents that just pick it up because they see how much fun the kids are having with it. And you don't have to be a serious competitor. You can come and just blow off some steam, just have a fun hobby. Unlike rifles or pistols where it's expensive to shoot your rifle or your gun because you don't get the bullet back. An arrow, you can shoot
it. Imagine if you did, though.
Yeah. An arrow, you can just shoot it and you go get it. And we have several adults that don't desire to be competitive nationally. They just like to come and shoot and get lessons and coaching and range time. And the kids love interacting with the adults. The adults love interacting with the kids. And they still go to local competitions and have fun and become a part of the archer community and see people every couple weekends when they go to these events. And now we do have opportunities. The adults also can be competitive, but it's not strictly for the competition. Like I said, several of the kids just want something to do that is not football, basketball, baseball, volleyball, soccer.
Or in addition to.
Yes, or in addition to. And so, and it's a great sport that helps in school. It transfers to school with focus, perseverance. And so, but a lot of kids like it because they don't have to be afraid of being the weak link on their team or causing the team to lose. It's very a self-oriented sport where kids get in what they put out, or kids get out what they put into it. They kind of practice more than most, then they improve more than most. But
and those that can stick with it will find their way to El Salvador or more, like Riley, our guest. We've got more with the Adams coming up next.
Making your afternoon just a little brighter. It's Good Things with Rebecca Turner on Super Talk Mississippi.
Welcome back to Good Things. We are streaming live over at supertalk.fm. We hope you have taken time to download that Supertalk Mississippi app because you can stream us there anytime, anywhere. You can always find us on that local Supertalk Mississippi radio station, and you can watch us. We are on your computer, your mobile device. Just head on over to Supertalk TV. Today we are talking about archery. It's one of the fastest growing sports, not just here in Mississippi, but across the nation. But we've got some Mississippi archers who are really showing out. We got one with us today, Miss Riley Adams. She is the daughter of Dennis Adams, and they own the Mississippi Archery Academy here in Central Mississippi. But do y'all have archers from all over the state that come and seek out, I guess, your coaching or your help? Or
we do. We used to have a archer from Starkville. He'd come and he got a lot of lessons, and now he's on his own there. We have some people from Hattiesburg that come up, and then every once in a while we'll have people from North Mississippi or Louisiana or Alabama that just come by. These are usually kids that know our kids that are just come get a one-off lesson, or just come and hang out and shoot with us. And then when we go places, I was very proud of myself. When we went to Phoenix, archer that we have met and are friends with from the Phoenix area was having a hard time with the wind this weekend, and her coach wasn't there. And so her mom asked, you know, hey, coach, can you help her out? We helped her out. She came in second in her division. And so, because that's kind of what the archer community is about, is helping others. One of our kids said it best. It's not like they're your enemy. It's just they're your competitor. And at the end of the day, you try to be friends with everybody. And so, but no, we have kids from all over the state that will come by and get a lesson or not know anything about it and just seek us out to see what it's about. And so we love that. I'll put a plug out there. Is anyone can come by. First visit's free. If you're interested or your kid's interested, please come by, and we'd love to show it to them. And so
that's really cool. And I think because it can be scary, there can be sort of that money barrier, financial barrier to getting into something new. You don't want to go buy your kid all that equipment, not knowing whether they're going to sort of like it or not. And too, I don't think that enough people know that it's one of the fastest growing sports. So we've said that, Dennis, but from your perspective, like, what do you see? Like, what do you see on the horizon, at least here in Mississippi, about youth interest in the sport of archery?
Well, the state does a very good job with the Archery Mississippi Schools program. A lot of schools have bought into offering archery as a sport at the school. It is a great outlet for kids that, like we've talked about, don't play traditional sports. But now that we opened our facility and we're growing and we're getting more known, a lot of coaches are like, hey, you're really good, maybe you should go over there. Because even though the Archery Mississippi Schools program is a good program, once you finish in 12th grade, that particular bow they use doesn't transfer to college or to to being an adult shooter.
Yeah.
And so, because you really have to be on one of the four categories, a recurve, Olympic, open compound, or fixed
somebody
compound.
Somebody needs to come to the table and have a talk about that. That yes. feels like there's a disconnect there.
And so, we have kids that now coaches will be like, hey, we get referrals all the time for middle school and high school kids that are really good with the Genesis bow, which is the bow they use for Archery Mississippi Schools program. It's also the National Archery Schools program bow, to come over and try one of the other bows to see if they like it, because that bow will take them to college, a recurve bow or a compound bow.
So if you are interested, so like say for Riley, who's obviously rocking it outside of the school sector, I mean, headed to international competitions, is it one of those things where you can do both at the same time? Like, could she like switch? Can you switch your brain, Riley, and like shoot a different bow at school and then switch your brain and then shoot a different bow? Like, or do you need to stick to like one piece of equipment? Remember, I don't know enough about the sport, so you can laugh at me if that's a funny question.
Right now, I don't shoot with the school team anymore. I shot it, like I said, all throughout elementary school when I got started, then all throughout middle school. And I was like, I want this to be my bow. And my dad was like, all right, this bow, you can only shoot to 12th grade, but this one,
yeah,
do your whole life. And I was like, that one.
And so, and because you mentioned, Dennis, the amount of practice that it takes, I guess yes. you can't, that's a split brain, right?
We have a couple kids that do both, but if they don't really have a lot of time, it's usually when you get to be about 14, 15, 16, and you're getting the opportunities to compete nationally with a recurve compound bow. The school bows usually just take too much time away from the practice of trying to be an elite level athlete on the archery side. So they usually drop the school bow in 9th or 10th grade to really focus on their recurve compound bow, because they're trying to be like the best in the world. And it just takes singular focus to do that. But we have plenty of kids that do both, that are just happy to practice both and shoot both and love being on their school team, love being on
right.
our team.
You have that in all sports too, though.
Yeah,
like in sort of that way. What if there's people listening, Dennis, who maybe their kids, like I know, well, my daughter's in sixth grade, so she would be the ripe age to sort of start out this sport if she wanted to. Like, she's welcoming herself into at least within the school system. But what if you are eighth grade, ninth grade, or 10th grade, and maybe obviously maybe not world championships is on your mind, but you like the idea of it. Is it too late to get into the sport of archery by then?
It is not too late. The archery is a great sport to get in at any time. It just depends on your goals. You have to understand that it's a very practice-heavy sport. Most kids aren't just going to jump in and be all-star level at the beginning. It takes a lot of practice and dedication. However, I've seen kids in a year be some of the best archers in the area. I've seen kids in a year or two that can compete collegiately with almost anybody. In 3 or 4 years, then you're really competing with, you know, everyone in the world.
So, Riley, when you're practicing, again, remember, don't know much about the sport, it sounds like you're just picking up your bow and shooting at a target, but what are you really practicing? Like, what is that, like, the repetition over and over and over again that you're trying to perfect?
Well, you're always practicing something with archery, like, either your form or, like, the way you're holding the bow, but you're also practicing the thinking of, like, okay, when I do this not at home, I'm not going to panic because I know how to do this so well.
So that repetition is like, once you get out on that floor, you can kind of, the butterflies
yes.
sort of fall away. Because I'd imagine the margin of who wins, who doesn't, in these events, once you get to a certain level, is like centimeter, like just a little bit. Like, so it gets down to like, you know, like magnifying glass on who shot it closer to the center.
It does. Yeah. And Riley, the way she got the gold medal, she actually, her competitor, they tied at the end of the eliminations. And so they each shot one arrow in what's called a one arrow shoot off, and the person closest to the center won. And so that really, where the nerves are really kicked in, that's where the practice comes in and the muscle memory, where you just, not to say you don't think about it, but you don't focus too much on the moment. You just try to make a good shot.
Kind of like in basketball. You want to make a three-pointer every time, right?
Yes.
Like, you just want to be able to the ball leave your fingers and know that it's headed to the basket sort of every time. Except there's not people running at you in archery.
Mm-hmm.
Like there is, but they are standing next to you. I mean, so when you go for an event, it's described to us what an event is like, Riley.
Honestly, I think events are a lot of fun. Like, I go there and I talk with all my friends. I'm like, who is going to this event? we all get to meet up, we all get to talk, we all get to practice together. Like, one of my friends is from Colorado, one of them's from Arizona, one of them's from, like, Oregon, and, like, we all get to come together at this one event and shoot together and hang out and just, like, be friends, and it's awesome because we know we're not anyone's enemy. Like, the only time we're not friends is on the line, but as soon as you're off that, they're like, oh, my God, that was such a great round, or, oh, my God, that was super bad, and they're like,
I hope they don't
so
say
nice.
That. You should say that about yourself. And they say, oh, no, it happens to everybody. But, you know, I mean, and it does. And I think it's a good camaraderie sport for sure. I know headed to El Salvador, you guys are doing a lot for your four athletes or your four archers to sort of get there. If people want to help support you guys in what you're doing, how do they do that, Dennis?
Yes, if you can go to Mississippi Archery Academy on Facebook, and we have a GoFundMe set up. And so if you'd like to help us monetarily, we'd love any donation that you'd give. And if you're not able to donate, we just accept prayers for safe travels for all the archers. And so, but that's on our Facebook page, Mississippi Archery Academy on Facebook.
So when do you leave? When do you leave for El Salvador?
May 5th.
May 4th.
May 4th. Yes. And then how long will you guys be gone?
May 4th. We'll be back May 13th. So it's a 9-day trip.
So it's a 9-day trip. Are you excited? What are you most excited about?
I'm most excited to, like, get the opportunity to represent the United States, like, internationally.
Do you get to wear a USA, like a Team USA jersey?
Oh, yes, and trust me, kids at tournaments, you'll know because they'll be wearing the jerseys every single day.
Absolutely.
And I've always been jealous. I've always been like, man, I wish I was them. I wish I could be. Because, like, the Academy, it feels amazing to be a part of such a big team and, like, community of people. But since it was our business, it always felt like it was just a small extension of me. But now it feels like something way bigger than just myself. And it makes me really proud to be able to be a part of that.
Do you hope to grow up and shoot at college, or do archery at college?
Oh, yeah. I'm so excited for when I'll be able to do that in just, like, 2 more years.
So who are you going to shoot for?
I don't want to limit myself just yet.
Who? Okay. Top two.
Top two? Top one is just stay here, Mississippi Archery Academy. I really don't know. Like, there are so many good options because, like you said, fastest growing sport in America. More colleges are starting to offer it, and colleges that have offered it in the past are like, no, we're the best.
I like it. Keep your options in your back pocket. But congratulations, girl. Best of luck to you. You'll have to let us know how it turns out.
I sure will.
Dad, and what's that website one more time, or the Facebook page to go to?
It's Mississippi Archery Academy on Facebook, and then you can find us MississippiArcheryAcademy.com.
And same good luck to the three gentlemen that you guys will be taking with you as well. So I appreciate y'all's time. Stick with us, though. We got more for you coming up next.
From Rebecca Turner.
She looks healthy and sane.
Good Things with Rebecca Turner continues on Super Talk Mississippi.
Welcome back to Good Things. Don't forget, we are streaming live over at supertalk.fm. We're also streaming from that Supertalk Mississippi app. You can always find us, too, on your local Supertalk Mississippi radio station, and you can watch us. We are on your computer, your mobile device. Just head on over to Supertalk TV. Coming up next week, I think, the Gallo Show will be at the Jackson Convention Complex next Thursday for Mississippi Economic Council's 75th annual meeting. So they've been getting together a lot over the last couple decades. To register or be a sponsor, go to mec.ms. That's mec.ms. So today is a special day for all of us space lovers, right, Rhino? It's
yeah,
the anniversary of?
On this day in history, on April 11th, 1970, Apollo 13 launched from the Kennedy Space Center in Florida, carrying astronauts Jim Lovell, John Swigert, and Fred Hayes.
and which set the stage for a great movie that we all love and enjoy, to which when we were talking about it during the break. So Tom Hanks stars in that movie.
Correct.
But I referred to it as Tom Cruise, to which you and I got tickled at, like, then went down the rabbit hole of, can you imagine if Tom Hanks and Tom Cruise all switched their places in their roles?
Which the first thing I thought of was Tom Cruise would never do Apollo 13. Because it was filmed inside the command module, and it seems like in every single movie, whether it be an action movie or a romantic comedy, Tom Cruise is going to run from point A to point B on screen.
So you would think if he has to run, Tom Cruise has to run in all his films, then it would be a great transition for Forrest Gump. But every other scene, minus the running one... I would almost pay money to see Tom Cruise try to play Tom Hanks in Forrest Gump. I think Tom Hanks could better fill some of Tom Cruise's shoes in some of his movies without it being just completely awkward, right? Like, it may not be the same. Mission Impossible.
Tom Hanks in any Mission Impossible movie would be odd.
As well as Top Gun would be kind of funny.
Although Tom Hanks did show his edgier side when he did Road to Perdition, where he was technically playing a bad guy.
But I guess I'd say some of the others, I don't know. I guess I don't know enough Tom Cruise movies other than the big blockbusters that we know Mission
Well, I mean, you've got Top Gun.
So, yeah, Tom Hanks would...
Tom Hanks in the cockpit would be
so fun! It would be great! It would be awesome. But I can't think of one either that I think I would...
Oddly enough, Tom Hanks wound up in the water losing a friend with Wilson. Tom Cruise wound up in the water losing a friend with Goose.
See? I could see... Which one was that? Wilson. What was the name of that movie?
It was Castaway.
Castaway. Tom Cruise might could have played that, potentially. Maybe. He would have had less... You'd have less empathy for the character, for sure.
Yeah, I doubt he would have gone through, although he loves to do all of his own stunts, I don't see Tom Cruise being the kind of person that would fluctuate his weight that much.
Someone won the text line today, Tom Cruise and Mr. Rogers. I'm so sorry, rest in peace, Mr. Rogers, I would never. But that would be a terrible casting. To go to show just because you have the same first name, you absolutely do not have the same. And they're both talented in their own craft.
I think the best crossover, if you were replacing Tom Hanks with Tom Cruise, would be Big. I think Tom Cruise would have done really well in Big.
I could see that. I could. That would be one that you might could give Tom Cruise for Tom Hanks. What about the vampire movie with Brad Pitt?
Interview with a Vampire?
Could Tom Hanks have done that? I don't remember it. The only reason why it's back in my forefront is because the little girl who got her career started in that movie, she's got a new movie out. And so when you see interviews with her, I can't even think of it. They're bringing back how she got her start with that. And so that's the only reason why that sort of was like on the forefront. But I think
Jamie in Oxford chimed in and said Tom Cruise could have done Sully because Tom Hanks flew the plane in Sully.
Oh, see, okay. So that's two for Tom Cruise to play Tom Hanks. We have not found any for Tom
Hanks. That Tom Hanks would do that was Tom Cruise.
They could do, and of course they're going to do it different. I mean, the idea, we got tickled because it was.
There we go. From the 662, Tom Hanks could have pulled off Risky Business.
Correct. Although I wouldn't want to see him in his tidy whites. I think
how about Cocktail?
They would have changed.
Think Tom Hanks could throw the bottles up around?
It's hard for me. I mean, it would be to me. I see Forrest Gump doing Cocktail, and so that would have been a hoot. I mean, I'd have tipped him harder as a bartender. But you couldn't have. I couldn't have flubbed two totally different actors for a specific role. I think, though, Tom Cruise would have done good in something like Apollo because it's very serious or whatever. But it wouldn't have been it would never be the same. It would be a completely different, like, movie experience.
That's a good shout on the C Spire text line from the 601. Tom Hanks replacing Tom Cruise in Rain Man.
Oh.
I think that would work with Tom Hanks.
What's the movie? Show me the money.
Jerry Maguire.
Jerry Maguire. Tom Hanks could, like, possibly.
I think Tom Hanks would have been better at the whole romantic speech at the end before she has the whole you had me at hello moment. He would have been a little bit out of his element being the million-dollar business broker, it feels like.
Maybe.
Tom Cruise just has that kind of slick look that you would expect from a professional agent.
Tom Cruise in Big, Jamie Oxford also said, The Firm. So what was the Tom Hanks in The Firm?
That's one of those John Grisham lawyer thriller movies that outside of A Time to Kill, they all kind of just blur together. Like, I get The Firm and The Client and all those from that era confused. So I'd have to go back and double check.
Tom Cruise is Woody.
That'd be a very serious Toy Story.
But then it's not really his face. Like, now it's like changing, like, the whole Woody would have a completely different tone. And, like, would kids even play with a Tom Cruise Woody? I mean, probably not. It has some good actors in it. Gene Hackman for one in the, I guess you saw him out sort of The Firm. So, yeah. That was just my flub today. Make you think about it in terms of.
And Jamie Oxford chimed in with Tom Cruise in Sleepless in Seattle.
Oh, that would have been awkward. But if you take the phone scene out of Show Me the Money.
Jerry Maguire.
Yes, I'm going to get it. And then the phone scene in Sleepless in Seattle. Like, if that's like he starts now screaming at the call-in lady, then it would not. Again, it would just be too totally.
Oh, here's a good swap totally from George and Biloxi. Tom Cruise in Bachelor Party, which was one of Tom Hanks' breakout roles, and Tom Hanks in Risky Business. Just a solid swap.
That would be a solid swap. I think that would be the one. I think the funniest one that I would never want to disrespect Mr. Rogers, but I think would be the most comical is trying to see Tom Cruise play somebody so calm and compassionate and
I'm sure with artificial intelligence I could throw together Tom Cruise doing his choppy run with all of Forrest Gump's followers following behind him.
But Tom Hanks doing all of Tom Cruise's stunts brings great joy to my brain because it would be like that awkward seal out there trying to do things. And that would be me. Like, that would be me trying to, like, imagine, like, Tom, wee! Like, going down the, like, on the dirt bike where he does the whole thing off the cliff to land in the plane. Like, and then Tom Hanks with all of those, obviously, pretty women that they always pair Tom Cruise with. It would just be... I would rather watch Tom Hanks try to play Tom Cruise in all of his movies for the sheer enjoyment of it. Kind of like average Joe's trying to swim against the Olympics or do gymnastics against the Olympics, right? Like, because you'll get a good laugh out of it. I think I would just cringe trying to watch Tom Cruise play the majority of Tom Hanks' characters who are supposed to ooze empathy and compassion.
Yeah.
Like, it wouldn't be funny. It would just be like, oh, this is...
Yeah, like, I'm thinking
this
of...
This is hard to watch.
What's the Leo DiCaprio... Catch Me If You Can, where it's Leo DiCaprio, who's the con man, and Tom Hanks is the Fed trying to catch him. And in that, Tom Hanks has that kind of everyman, a little bumbling, but still competent enough to do his job, whereas Leo DiCaprio was always outsmarting him until the end. I don't think Tom Cruise would have come across as empathetic in that.
No.
I think Tom Cruise would have been much more, this is business, I got to get to it.
Yeah, I think that's the whole difference in that. Someone wants to know what it was the movie that Tom Cruise was a young military cadet with Timothy Hutton, several others, and George Scott. If you know that, text us. But stick with us. We got more for you coming up next.
All your
great.
Rebecca Turner.
She's smart and pretty.
Good Things with Rebecca Turner continues on Super Talk Mississippi.
Welcome back to Good Things, streaming live over at supertalk.fm, also streaming from that Supertalk Mississippi app, always on your local Supertalk Mississippi radio station and your computer or mobile device. Just head on over to Supertalk TV and always having a good time here on Good Things. If you're just joining us, the music was on point because we have just went down the rabbit hole of switching out Tom Cruise for all of Tom Hanks movies and Tom Hanks for all of Tom Cruise movies. So I did a little Google search just quickly, Tom Cruise movies, to see what came up, what we were.
By the way, the movie that we were talking about before the break was Taps.
Taps. Okay. There you go.
Where Tom Cruise was a young cadet.
Gotcha. And I got even more tickled because it shows all of the movie posters, right? And all of Tom Cruise's movies are pretty much action-packed. I mean, you've got The Mummy, American Made, all these things. And like, I cannot imagine Tom Hanks like strutting away from the airplane in Top Gun, or hanging from the wall in Mission Impossible, or riding the the motorcycle with a woman, you know, side whatever, and in Night and
Day.
You
don't see Tom Hanks doing the motorcycle fight for Mission Impossible 2?
It just got me tickled. Like, it even, like, because then to do it, you've got to switch them all. You got to put them on the posters. You got to do the whole thing. You got to really think about it.
If this one on the C Spire text line isn't the winner for the day, it's at least meddling. Mike from Collins chimed in with, what about Tom Hanks in Days of Thunder?
Again, I still stand by what I said. I would watch all of Tom Cruise's movies if you swap Tom Hanks in them for the sheer comedic value of it would be. I would want to have seen it first and then obviously do it. I just think it would be cringeworthy to then see Tom Cruise try to play Tom Hanks's roles. A Man Called Otto. I hadn't
probably
seen that one,
that well.
But it's probably not going to work very well at all. Elvis, Colonel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Could you imagine Tom Cruise is the Colonel?
Kinda. Because he kind of played that role in Tropic Thunder.
Maybe. Maybe so. Are there other actors, actresses that have the first name, but not?
I mean, there's a ton of Toms. We could just keep going with Tom. Tom Hiddleston, there's Tom Holland, Selleck. Tom Selleck.
Tom Selleck might could have played Tom Cruise's movies.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, that would have been a very
especially fair. Young Tom Selleck was just as much of an action star as Tom Cruise was.
Andy, you've got mail. Oh, that just tickles me. The Da Vinci Code. Tom Cruise would have, well, I think maybe he could have played that one a little bit.
That might have been the best fit.
Yeah, I think so, because it was more of like an act, like a little bit of action. You kind of got an idea of what it would look like to have Tom Hanks doing kind of the Mission Impossible sort of field. Maybe he would do better. You know, Tom Hanks is probably listening to Good Things, and he's probably very offended by the fact that we don't think that he could live up to it. I just think he has.
Oh, we forgot a Tom. Mark from Gulfport chimed in with Tom Arnold.
Ah!
The wild card of the Toms.
The Turner and Hooch.
Oh, there we go.
That. Hooch would be taller than Tom Cruise.
They would chimed in on the text line to make that comment about he couldn't play in Big.
It would be small to medium instead of big. That's unfair. You know, he can't help that. Saving Private Ryan, Tom Cruise would have been decent in that, I think. He might could have switched over. I mean, there's still a lot of empathy that needed to be played. Sort of given in that way. I still go back to Forrest Gump, which has been a completely different. This all got started because Apollo 13 and then me not being able to get the names of the movies correct on that one. But yeah, that would be pretty interesting, to say the least. Tom Arnold in The Thing That You Do, Dan in Hattiesburg, said. Now I just feel like you need to put all the movies in a hat, and it needs to become a game. And then you just draw out the movie, and then you have to draw out a time. And then what time would it be? And then, you know, see what you get out of that. We should have saved this conversation for Tanya coming up tomorrow to see what she thinks about it. She'd probably be like, oh, no, we don't need to do.
Well, I mean, if we're just flip-flopping Toms around, Tom Holland plays Spider-Man. So which Tom would be the funniest to insert into Spider-Man?
Tom Hanks.
Would it be Tom Hanks?
Could you see?
Because I think Tom Arnold would be funnier in a Spider-Man suit.
Spidey suit. I'm not picturing Tom Arnold.
Who's used to be married to Roseanne.
Oh. I changed.
Not John Goodman. Not who played Roseanne's husband.
No. Yes. Yes. That's all. Yeah.
He'd wisecrack. Spider-Man's a wisecracker.
But it's the Lycra. It's the suit. It's the Spidey suit for me that I don't need to see that. All right, stick with us. We've got more for you coming up next. You got the boys with Sports Talk from 3 to 6. Rhino and I meet you back here tomorrow at 2. But until then, I hope you all find time for the good things.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.